Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, in light of the news around Roman Abramovich and those sanctions, Kieran Maguire from The Price of Football joined us and was fascinating. Took some of your questions, took some of our questions, and tried to work this whole mess out because none of us quite know what's going to happen. So it was very interesting to speak to him. We also spoke to the author of a new book called Your Show. It's the story of Uriah Rennie, the former Premier League referee, and Ashley Hickson-Lovins, who is the author and a referee himself back in the day, joined us to chat about that.
Yeah, creative way of presenting the story, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, it's a novel. Yeah, we had a bit of a chat and we had a birthday spread.
Well, of course.
Of course, it was all there. Andy joined us and gave us a bit of Chelsea chat as well. But anyway, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul. What a morning already.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so confusing. I've got no skin in the game at all. And just from a fan's point of view, if I was a Chelsea fan, I'd be so confused about what happens with transfers, what happens with ownership, loanies, the future.
Yeah.
You know, does the club exist? In what way does the club exist? So confusing.
Well, the government have made this call not just around Abramovich, but some of the other oligarchs and frozen the assets of a number of them. But it is complicated in the case of Abramovich, because all of these sanctions really are not set up for a football club.
No.
And then the government have obviously done some work and they've said, OK, we'll ring-fence this, we'll ring-fence that, they'll get a special licence. But throughout the morning, as we've been hearing with Jim and Simon, various guests have been popping up, or if you look at social media, Chelsea fans, football fans, journalists, everybody, punters are saying, yeah, but what about? And then you think, oh yeah, you know, I've not thought of that. Making a call like this, there's only so much the government can do, the decision makers in this can do. So there's lots more stuff, there's lots of questions.
I suppose because it's never happened before. We've seen teams go into administration, we've seen teams go out of business, but this isn't that, is it?
No.
This isn't...
I mean, even down to the point where, there's a lot of people have been saying, how are you going to get an entire football squad and everybody else in comfort to Lille or further afield, ultimately, if they continue in the competition, for this 20 grand limit? Apparently, the government have now said, look, there is some flexibility around that. Because...
I mean, I've got a friend who's a
people were talking about mega buses, you know, there was that sort of thing. So, there...
But on the Britney Ferry...
On a serious note, there's going to have to be some flexibility.
Yeah.
So if they want Chelsea to exist and to continue, then there has to be some flexibility about how they take this going forward within reason, as long as the beneficiary, as Simon was saying, isn't Roman Abramovich.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a big story because the history of the Premier League is dominated by Roman Abramovich and Chelsea, isn't it? You know, and you know, football is family. And people's supporting Chelsea,
it's in
their blood.
Yeah, yeah. There's lots and lots of millions of Chelsea fans who were there long before the Abramovich era.
Who will today be thinking, well, what happens with my club? And that's what we're going to try and answer, isn't it, Paul?
We're going to
speak to the right people.
Well, look, Kieran Maguire's going to join us, and we'll put some of those financial. If you've got any questions around the finances of this, there's no one better than Kieran, really, from the Price of Football podcast. So. You've got about 5 minutes to get your questions into us, and we'll do our best to put put them to him. Talksport.com/H&J, text to 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ, TSHANDJ, and get them in the next 5 minutes. If you've been sitting there this morning thinking, mate, yeah, but how will that work?
Yeah.
Then maybe Kieran can help. So get them into us in the next 5 minutes. As is always the case, I think fans, when these sort of things happen, even though the mega store is closed for reasons we now know, people congregate at the ground.
Yeah.
And we've been hearing from some Chelsea fans with Jim and Simon a little bit earlier on. Alex Crook is at the bridge, and he'll be catching up with some of them later on. He joins us now. Hi, Alex.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys.
Afternoon.
Yeah, it's as I said, there are more questions than answers at the moment, aren't there? We're just trying to piece this together, and you do sense even the people that have made the decision are to an extent having to make it up as they go along, as new sort of scenarios emerge about how this club can run in this environment.
Absolutely. I'm outside the Britannia Gate here at Stamford Bridge, which anybody who's been to this ground will know is one of the main entrances into the stadium behind me. There's a big sign up actually announcing their next home game, Chelsea against Newcastle, here on Sunday lunchtime. In big red letters, it says sold out. That's the last time we might see that sign for a while, because, of course, one of the ramifications of that bombshell announcement from the government this morning is that Chelsea basically can't have any more money going through the till. The club's shop is shut, as you say. Normally, even on a non-match day, Chelsea due to play away from home in the Premier League against Norwich tonight, there would be supporters here buying their replica shirts, buying their mugs and other such merchandise. That can't happen. And the only people who can watch games after this weekend are people with pre-existing tickets, season ticket holders. Away fans may well be able to come into the ground, but only if the visiting club take all the money and that none of it goes into club funds. There are a lot of Chelsea fans milling around outside the stadium today, many of them just, I think, trying to make sense of that announcement from the government. Their owner, Roman Abramovich, has now been subject to sanctions. It's put a real doubt in the mind of many people as to which direction this club is going to. We know that Abramovich has been looking for a buyer. He will need special dispensation now from the government in order to complete that purchase. And I think there's a lot of uncertainty around Chelsea at the end of what has been 2 decades of almost unparalleled success under Roman Abramovich. We will be speaking to some of those fans throughout the afternoon, gauging their thoughts on what has happened and what the future could hold for Chelsea Football Club.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Kieran Maguire, as promised, joins us now from the Price of Football podcast, University of Liverpool lecturer. Good afternoon, Kieran.
Afternoon, Kieran.
Good afternoon.
Well, I bet your phone's been ringing off the hook today. We do appreciate you joining us. So many questions. The first one that came to me was, who will now set the tariff for the sale of Chelsea? Because it won't be to the benefit of Roman Abramovich, of course. So who is going to decide on, I mean, they can talk about market value, but that would have been argued anyway because he was potentially looking for a quick sale, and there would have been people out there looking to drive that price down. So how will they arrive at a figure?
Well, given that Roman Abramovich's assets have been frozen, the sale is no longer within his control. So we'll have to wait to see what the government says in conjunction with the Premier League. It looks as if from reading the small print of there's been a license announced and published on the internet that the sale cannot take place without government approval. So the government would have to get involved, or the government would have to appoint agents to focus on the sale, assuming that it's going to go ahead at some point in time.
Simon's scenario he was just painting there before we got you on, did that kind of ring true to you? Do you think that's the kind of thing that will happen?
Yes, yeah. Simon and I had a conversation before he went on air. So Simon and I talk quite often because he is the governor, as far as I'm concerned. And we sort of broadly said that the conclusion, as far as the government is concerned, is that it wants to protect Chelsea as a heritage asset, and it will therefore want to maximise the return if the money is going to be used for charitable purposes.
Why can't the club continue to generate revenue from outside sources? It's all part of the club, as long as that money from this point on is not going into the coffers of Roman Abramovich and it is going into that pool, which would be picked up. And so it's still generating profits at this point for any potential owner.
I think the government wants to be consistent with its treatment of other oligarchs who have had their assets frozen and where there is a restriction as to future revenue generation. So I think because there are a number of licenses which have been granted today dealing with a variety of people with, as far as the government is concerned, some form of connection to Vladimir Putin, that they feel that they have to be consistent in that approach.
We've asked for questions from listeners on 81089 or at TSHNJ on Twitter, and they've come in their droves. Phil, the NUFC fan, and a few other people have asked about FFP and how, if they've been allowed to have £2 billion in loans without penalties, what happens to that now?
Well, loans are excluded from financial fair play because loans is money coming from the owner and it doesn't affect profit. Profit is what the club generates in revenue compared to the costs of running the club on a day-to-day basis. Looking at Chelsea's results recently, that they would have been within the financial fair play limits because although it's an expensive club to run, Chelsea generates more money from player sales than any other club in the Premier League over the course of the last 5 to 6 years. So FFP has not been impacted. If there are issues going forwards with regards to there has been talks in social media of some of the sponsors deciding that they might want to review their relationship with Chelsea, that could have an impact.
Sure.
Scott in Perth says, what happens with Chelsea Champions League home games? They're not included in the season tickets as far as I know. So if they continue in this competition and come through against Lille, will they be playing in front of empty stadiums? Is there any way around that, Kieran?
From what we see in terms of the licence that the government has published, no individual match day tickets can be sold. So unless a season ticket holder has bought a ticket in advance, and clearly that must be complicated given that they're not into the quarterfinals yet, we could be seeing matches taking place behind closed doors. Closed doors.
Do you think we were saying earlier on, Kieran, that development that apparently now the government is saying there is some flexibility around this £20,000 figure for away travel because, you know, in reality it would be very difficult to make that happen, certainly if they're travelling further afield than Lille. Do you think we're going to see a little bit more flexibility simply because this is such an unprecedented situation?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the government will, has had to act quickly has produced an initial document, and there's always the opportunity to be flexible going forwards. Transport prices are very high at present. Clubs would normally charter a private flight for European fixtures, and that could exceed £20,000. So how that operates going forwards, we'll have to wait and see.
What happens with contracts, Kieran? When people's contracts come to the end, like the end of this season, I think Rudiger's contract. Yeah, there's a few, aren't there?
Yeah.
And or Loney's contracts. What happens with them?
Well, the loan players' contracts will automatically expire at the end of the season, and the players will return back to Chelsea Football Club. But the licence itself is due to expire on the 31st of May. And therefore, presumably, the government agencies and the Premier League will be working hand in hand to try to sort of minimise the cultural and historic issues that might be of concern going forwards. In terms of individual players, I don't think Chelsea would be able to sign off a contract for a player for the summer until this existing contract is either flexed or is renewed under different terms.
There's a few fans of clubs thinking about them, you know, under
Crystal Palace.
They're seeing the main chance. Yeah. Gavin says, will it make it easier for us to sign Conor Gallagher? That's not from Kevin Day, that's from Gavin. We don't have to answer that one, Kira, we know the answer. And more slightly more serious one, Disco Dave says, are Chelsea players classed as assets and can they be sold off in the summer? He's obviously hoping for a fire sale.
Registration certificates in relation to Chelsea Football Club are classified as assets in the balance sheet, and therefore potentially they could be sold in order to, especially if there are issues going forwards with regards to sponsors and kit manufacturing deals, then those assets potentially could be sold. We'll have to wait to see what happens with the new contract or the new licence going forwards from the 1st of June 1st.
Do you think, this is finally in this section, I know you're going to stick around, Kieran, which we appreciate. Do you think the government would want a quick sale? If there is a decision that if this money can be ring-fenced and it isn't for the benefit of Roman Abramovich, they'll want a quick sale so they could move on from this and bring some clarity to all these Chelsea fans and indeed to the Premier League and the rest of football.
Yes, the government's focus is on its reaction to what is happening in Ukraine at present, and what's happening at Chelsea. You know, and we have to contextualise things. It is minor compared to what's happening in terms of the invasion. So the government would want to be able to focus on other things, and therefore a quick sale is for the benefit of all concerned. Any new owner would want to try to re-establish any reputational loss that's happened as a result of a connection with Abramovich by definition the fact that we've got this license and freezing of assets with Putin, and therefore it's in nobody's interest for this to drag on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Football shirts in random situations is our next guest. Kick this all off. The picture of the backstage pictures of Cabaret, the hit West End musical.
Very glamorous, Paul.
Very glamorous picture. Bowler hats, basques, fishnet tights, high heels, and a Burton Albion shirt. On our next guest, actor Josh Andrews. Good afternoon, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, adding a little bit of glamour, I'd say, backstage to Cabaret.
Bit of realism.
Yeah, really grounding it.
So, I suppose the question is why. I take it you're a Burton Albion fan, or that was a very random fashion choice.
No, I'm from Burton itself. So, and to be honest, the shirts, football shirts, are really, really good to warm up in because you know they're designed that so you can sweat in them.
Oh yeah,
you know, so you can warm up in them. That's what they're designed for. I mean, people rinse me a bit at work about wearing them, but I think they're a good choice. It's better than just wearing some plain Adidas top or something, isn't it?
Yeah. And you're representing Burton at the same time.
Exactly, home club.
Have you converted any of the cast to the club or not?
Eddie Redmayne, you got Eddie Redmayne down there? Donna Mott, King of Caravans.
As soon as you start talking about football in theatre, a lot of people start rolling their eyes, so you have to find your select group of people who you're able to talk to about.
So back to you in a second, Josh. There's been a wicket over in Antigua and John Norman has all the details. John.
It's Holder who's gone and it's Stokes who's got him. A ball that Holder could have left alone and actually tried to leave alone but didn't take the bat away quickly enough. The edge taken by folks behind the stumps, and that's Stokes' second wicket of the innings. He actually took the ball, the new old ball, if you see what I mean. He opened the bowling essentially alongside Chris Wokes, and it's he who has struck. So Holder goes for 42 and West Indies 206 for 5.
Thank you very much, John. Josh Andrews is with us, actor currently in Cambrai.
It's a huge hit, isn't it, Josh? And I've got a friend who's in it, Elliot, who is Olivier nominated. I think you've got a few of those. It's been a huge hit, and it's a full experience, isn't it? It's like a dinner theatre and all sorts.
Oh, from the moment you walk in the door, there's an entire prologue company. I think they do about 45 minutes of kind of improvised, you know, relationship building with the audience to really engage them into the setting that we're trying to go for. And it's done so well at the Olivier's. I mean, we've had 11 nominations, 4 actors nominated for best actor and best actresses. It's unbelievable. It's so amazing to be part of it.
Now, you are the swing, which is, I think a lot of people listening today will not know what that is and what the role entails. So,
swings are rock stars. You wait till you hear what this job is. This is amazing.
Well, take it away then, Josh.
So basically, I describe it as the understudies to the ensemble. So we learn kind of every track in the show. And then if anyone is ill, we go on for them. So we have our covers, which when we cover the lead parts, but also the ensembles, we can go on for them as well. In this show, I know, I think, 6 tracks. So I can go on for any 6 people at the drop of a hat, you know, hopefully. I can do a good job of it.
To put someone it in football parlance, it, you're James you're James Milner.
Yeah.
Yeah, any position, yeah, get me on.
Utility player,
yeah.
So that must take some doing. And obviously, you know, you learn the parts, but you need to refresh yourself. You're kind of watching from the wings quite a lot of nights, are you? And just to kind of keep up with what's going on and make sure you can remember those parts if you're called upon.
That's it. We have the tannoy up in the dressing room, so we get a live feed of the show, and sometimes you speak along with the lines to make sure that you know what you're saying. We've got a brilliant camera backstage which we can see the stage, and we go through the dance routines in the little corridor outside of dressing rooms. So it's keeping it fresh. We also have constant rehearsals, so we're going over stuff, you know, we jump in and out of tracks. It's so easy for us to practice, and that's why we're able to go on and do it and hopefully do a good job of it.
Yeah, if I know anything, you'll hardly ever be off, because dancers, it's so physical, Paul, what dancers all the time. And they're always off, in my experience. People are always off. Someone's always off the show somewhere. So everyone's always injured. So you must have got on quite a lot.
Yeah, and of course there's COVID as well at the moment. So sure. We are still sticking to the isolation period. So if I've been on this last week for a wonderful actor called Stuart Clark. He's been off with COVID, unfortunately. So I've been covering for him. He's fine. He's just got to sit out the isolation. So I've been doing that for him for the last few days.
And the Burton gaffer, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink, you know, strikes me as a pretty urbane kind of chap. Yeah. All those years living on the King's Road. Yeah. I imagine he'd like a night at the theatre.
He'd love that, wouldn't he?
That would be nice. Front row, wouldn't it, Josh? There's Jimmy there.
Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink in the front.
It would be great for him to come, wouldn't it? It would be fantastic.
Sitting there.
Yeah. So other members of the cast occasionally slip the football shirts on if you say they're a really good thing to warm up in. Do you encounter others?
Well, not in this show, but in other shows that I've done a show with a guy who was a massive Bradford City fan. Right. I've done a show with someone who was a huge Middlesbrough fan. So not in this show. There's only about 4 people who are anyway interested in football in the show. So, and one of them's an Arsenal fan in the dressing room, so he's easy to chat to about things. Yeah.
And when you saw the picture, we've got to let you go now, but when we saw the picture in The Guardian and everyone else is there and looking hugely glamorous. I'm not saying you don't, Josh, but were you pleased to be in your Burton Albion shirt, or were you like, oh, I should have worn my 1940s trilby?
You know what? You're not going to believe this, but every time there's a press shoot, I always wear my Burton Albion shirt. Oh, and the amount of times it's made it into a show programme or in some sort of promo thing, but this is the first time, I guess, it's gone out onto a major newspaper or website that people have seen it. But
they should send you one. You should get hold of Burton, get some sponsorship.
Yeah, definitely. Good to talk to you, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
Keep doing it.
Lovely to talk to you. Cheers, guys.
Yeah, good stuff. There we are. Josh Andrews there, and yeah, Eddie Redmayne, Jesse Buckley, Amari Douglas. Yeah.
It's meant to be incredible.
What a cast. I love the film. So, you know, it's a hot ticket, Charlie, isn't it?
I don't think they're going to give them to the likes of us.
No, I wouldn't expect it. Not if Jimmy Floyd will get a ticket, I'm sure.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on Talk Sports. Well, we're going to chat about a new novel now. Mm-hmm. It's called Your Show. It's by Ashley Hickson-Lovance. And it tells the story of Uriah Rennie, the former Premier League referee. I was quite surprised to read that 2008 was the last time Uriah Rennie did a game. in the Premier League.
Seems a long time ago, Paul.
It does. It certainly doesn't feel that long.
We're very old.
Therein lies a tale, which we'll be discussing with Ashley, who joins us now. Good afternoon, Ashley.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. Yeah. I mean, look, it's an interesting format to tell a story of a real person in kind of real scenarios the way you have. And he's been very kind about you on the back cover of the book. It's that kind of David Peace style that we've seen with things like the Damn United, with a kind of an imagining of the mindset, maybe, or not. You tell me. I mean, I take it you spoke to Uriah, did you, along the way in the writing of the book?
Yeah, I think I was definitely inspired by David Peace, both works, both football works in particular, The Damned United and Red or Dead, which is about Bill Shankly, the second one. But yeah, I think even though I was inspired by the fantastic work that is David Peace, I think mine is sort of more rooted in truth. And I do play around with language a little bit more, try to make it accessible for obviously people that love the beautiful game as we do, but also literate fans of like literary fiction and just general books in the more general sense. So I've tried to sort of tick both boxes in that regard, to be honest. And in relation to like getting his permission and stuff, yeah, I was lucky enough to interview him and sort of record down details. Not a great deal, but a couple of hours, and that was enough because I had something to base the story on, and then I can do the rest using creative license. But, you know, he's a hero to me, so it was a great occasion.
What does he make of this treatment of it, this approach? Because, you know, you could have gone done a straight biography. It's an interesting story, but, you know, Britain's only elite black referee. But you've taken this kind of more stylized approach, this fictional approach. So what has he made of, has he read it yet?
Yeah, I mean, I kept him up to date with really rough drafts, essentially, every time I'd finish, sort of one version of it. So I finished writing this and sort of during the first lockdown, to be honest, and I sent him basically some printed pages. And the feedback's been really, really positive, because I think the great thing is that we had a discussion, and our biggest aim, I used to referee, I still do some work with the FA observing. Mm-hmm. Is to try and inspire more black referees or referees from marginalized communities to get involved in refereeing, see if they can, get as high as he did, because it's probably not good enough. No, not probably. It's definitely not good enough that he remains the only black referee to ever referee in the Premier League when you think about how diverse and colourful our beautiful game is.
Mm. You say you used to referee. I was going to ask, do you referee? What made you stop?
So I refereed for about 10 years. About four of those years, I was like semi-pro level. It was a number of factors, a bit of injury, a bit of personal things, but there was definitely this idea that because I was a young black boy who was living in London at the time as well, I also had a high top, a very Fresh Prince-esque high top. I think there was this idea that I think I was sort of judged on my ability to referee a game before I would even blown the first whistle, to be honest. And I think I often had to work twice as hard, a bit like Uriah had to do coming up through the ladder, through the Northern Premier League and the Sheffield County Leagues. So I think we had that bond when I was talking about this book, and that, you know, I could draw on my own experiences of what it means to be a black man in certain white spaces.
You probably had sort of ideas for the book before you actually spoke to Uriah Rennie. So when you spoke to him, how much did it shape the way the novel unfolded?
I think I had an idea of where I wanted to take this novel. I wanted to give referees a voice. I wanted to show people that referees, yes, they make mistakes, but actually they have a heart and they are, you know, they're human beings. So I think I always had that sort of general philosophy and ethos for the novel. But in relation to like when I was when I met him and recording interviews and stuff, like his stories growing up, he was born in Jamaica. He moved to Sheffield as a teenager, and not many people knew that. And these stories with his anecdotes from family life were just so colourful, were just so funny and just so rich that I really wanted to, that sort of shapes the beginning of the novel in a way that I wasn't expecting initially when I was writing the project.
Did he talk to you about the prejudice that he experienced coming through the ranks and even at the top level?
Yeah, he did. He did. I would say he was quite stoic about it. You know, he was sort of, he just sort of got on with it because that's the sort of person that he is. You know, he's a very sort of, he's very driven and ambitious individual. But I think, you know, especially in the world that we live in now with all the sort of, added attention of how we treat black, black footballers, black managers, black referees, etc. I think Now is the time to really showcase his story to try and inspire more referees of colour. I think at the time, it wasn't a done thing to talk about, you know, any sort of prejudice or racism that might have existed and how that might have been a barrier for him. Because like he never refereed the FA Cup final, never refereed in the Champions League, for instance. And I think, you know, that probably was an issue of race. But he doesn't like to talk about that very much. You know, he was very, very stoic and just thought, you know, it was what it was. And he did his very best.
The fact it happened sort of in the early 2000s and there was an elite black referee, it is incredible that he is the last one. Well, I was mentioning earlier, and we've had Joel Mannix in the studio. I'm sure you know Joel, who referees at a sort of good standard lower league level. It's hard to believe that someone like Joel or others have not come through the system subsequently with the awareness that we have now that we certainly didn't have when Uriah started his career.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Like I said, I don't think it's been good enough in the past. I know the FA are working really, really hard through, you know, trying to sort of better the numbers in regards to representation and stuff. But, you know, I know for a fact there's been some fantastic referees of colour who have not gone as far as they could have done because of, you know, there's certain systems in place in relation to observations, in relation to which fixtures they get, et cetera, which means that, they never really got sort of a fair crack of the whip, so to speak. But things are changing, which is great. And I hope this story continues to inspire not just black referees, but anybody who, you know, might come from particular backgrounds that are a little bit sort of trickier, so to speak.
Yeah, I think it's the way you've written it, the creative way you've approached the subject is really interesting, and I really wish you luck with it, Ashley.
Yeah, I'm going to pass this on. We've had a young referee on our production team here who's doing rather well, so I will be passing it on to him, Ashley. So, look, we wish you well with the book, and thanks very much for joining. It's out now, I take it, is it?
Oh, no, a few weeks.
Oh, April okay. 7th.
Oh, also right. Out as an audio book. So, yeah, absolutely. Great. Thank you so much for all your support, and I hope you all enjoy it.
We'll make a great film.
It would.
Oh, yes.
I'm just putting that out there for you, Ashley.
Right, I'm sure Uriah's been casting it in his head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he's wondering he'd like
Idris
to
Elba, maybe.
Idris Elba. What a lovely idea.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, well, you want to get him
on. He's got a Dickensian name, isn't he? Uriah.
Yeah. Hemp, you know. You want to get him on board quickly, I think.
Send him it.
I'll get his agent.
Yeah. So it's published by Faber, isn't it?
That's right, yeah, which is the same publishers as The Damned United. In fact, I'm working with the same editorial team. So hopefully it does. If it's half as successful, I'll be a happy boy.
Sure. Yeah, it's very much. I mean, people enjoyed those books. As I said earlier on, they'll enjoy this. It's very much got that feel. So cheers, Ashley. Thanks a lot.
Very much. Thank you.
Ashley Hicks and Lovins there. His book is Your Show, the story of Uriah Rennie, the former Premier League referee. And so he's out 3 weeks' time, published by Faber.
Very interesting. Very good idea.
Have you read the Damn United?
Yeah, I love read a book like that. Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it?
Both fine books. The Bill Shankly books are very good. Again, they take they're really... I mean, David's been in to see us a couple of times, and they just take a while to get... Once you get into the rhythm of the way he writes and the style he writes, you're just completely engrossed. But I have spoken to people who just... They find it difficult to get over that hump, the repetition, the style, and they think, I couldn't. But it's worth it. Honestly, if you've done that and thought, go back in, because it's worth it. Both books are worth it. They just take a while to grab hold of you. But when they do, they certainly do,
It was a whole sort of genre of football book was invented like by Fever Pitch, wasn't it? You know, when was that? 19,
but I mean, a football...
Was that
91 or something? 91, 92. I mean, maybe even earlier, but as a novel, it makes it very, very different. So, anyway, Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. Our old friend Bruce Millington from the Racing Post.
Oh yeah,
I've not watched it. I'm going to watch it back. He was on Pointless last night.
How did he get on?
I don't know. I don't know if he's listening this afternoon. Maybe the listeners can fill us in. Or it could be a bit of spoiler alert because I'm going to watch it back.
Imagine if one of the rounds was horse racing.
I don't
names.
Think it was a kind of Cheltenham special or anything. I think he was just on there as a punter.
He's allowed on there as a punter.
Of course he is
punter,
as a punter. Yeah, nice one. So, we'll try and find out. A regular guest, big Palace fan. I'm sure the Palace fans got behind him last night. Opening one.
Pointless. Yeah. Talking about Palace fans.
Oh, no.
It's a shame, Paul. I don't know why you said that.
They're doing rather well at the moment. You know, it's gone of those days.
They are.
Charlie.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We've got a birthday spread coming up for you next. Don't forget Drive this afternoon at 4. All the breaking news around Chelsea and Roman Abramovich with Andy Goldstein and Darren Benton and all that live football I just outlined for you. on TalkSport on the app. That's all from 7 o'clock. The sports bar at 10.
But it is illegal, Paul, to pick a orange off a tree in Seville.
You've checked.
I've been told.
You're trying to get the moose arrested, aren't you? Trying to get the moose. But he's in the press room, so I imagine they'll furnish. They'll probably peel it for him.
Probably.
I would imagine they'll look after him. Anyway, let's get the sport now with Ben Fletcher.
West Indies are making slow progress on day three of the first test after Ben Stokes took the wicket of Jason Holder in the first hour. There was very nearly a breakthrough for England just now in front of TalkSport's John Norman.
Yeah, 241 for five, but England was celebrating. They thought that Joshua De Silva had been trapped absolute stone dead plumb. Leg before wicket from the bowling of Craig Overton, who slipped a foolish delivery onto the pads. De Silva falling over almost as he tried to whip the ball through mid-wicket, missing the ball by a couple of inches. But what looked like a hopeful, an optimistic review turned out to be an excellent one. The ball shown to be going down the leg side, so De Silva's still there. Bonner has reached 50, and the deficit now on first innings is down to 70. Windies with five wickets in hand, 2-4-1 for five.
Ball bubble commentary continues on TalkSport 2. Chelsea will ask the government for amendments to their operating licence to allow them to function more normally. The sanctions placed on owner Roman Abramovich mean the sale of the club won't be allowed for now. A transfer ban is in place and only season ticket holders will be able to attend matches. The Premier League says the club can continue to train, play its fixtures and fulfil its obligations for the rest of the season. Today's men's and women's games against Norwich and West Ham will go ahead respectively. Finally, rugby. Sam Simmons will start for England in their must-win Six Nations clash with Ireland at the weekend. The number eight comes in for Alex Dombrandt, who drops to the bench.
Exclusive international cricket live right now over on TalkSport 2.
He comes down the pitch and it's out-caught and bowled.
TalkSport 2 brings you big-hitting live ball-by-ball commentary as the West Indies take on England in the first test. Direct from Sir Vivian Richards Stadium, Antigua.
Wow! Oh, that is amazing batting.
The West Indies versus England right now. Exclusively over on TalkSport 2.
Yes, it's time once again for the birthday spread, that point of the show where we bring you 10 birthdays. Andy Jacobs has collated birthdays from the week, not necessarily just the day, and he'll have a gilt-edged gag attached to each one of them. He'll give us those, and myself and Charlie will attempt to guess, and you at home, because we know a lot of you play at home, will attempt to guess the ages of the people whose birthdays were celebrated this week, and we'll guess them, and as we guess them, we're bound to be some years out, you would think. Doesn't matter how good
exactly.
We are.
And just to say, no research is allowed.
No, absolutely not. And a margin of error will build as we make our guesses, and the one with the shortest margin of error at the end of the 10 birthdays is the winner. Andy Jacobs joins us first, of course. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, boys?
Yeah, not too bad. Well, thank you. Before we get underway, I'm sure listeners would like your take on the events of earlier today.
Well, I mean, it was inevitable. Abramovich had to be sanctioned. I knew it was going to happen. But I don't understand the government. I don't get what they think they're doing here. I mean, surely sell the club, pay off the football debts, take the rest of the money and give it to the refugee effort. Make sure Roman gets nothing. He's going to leave his $1.5 billion in there. I don't see... absolutely, by killing the club, driving it virtually to the wall. I'm not sure what that achieves in terms of loss of revenue to the government, in terms of taxes, in terms of jobs, the prestige to the league. I'm not sure. It's a bit heavy-handed on the club, not on Abramovich. I'd never defend him or Russia or anything like that. I'm not going to come on here and do that. There's no point. It would be wrong. But that's what I feel. I feel I don't get what the government think they're going to achieve by making Chelsea go to the end of the season. They won't be able to have any transfer. They won't be able to do any deals. They can't sign anybody. I can't see what this does other than hurt Chelsea fans. And it doesn't hurt Abramovich because he's not going to get anything out of it anyway, which he shouldn't. So I'm not quite sure what they've done, but that's my view.
Chatting earlier on to Kieran from The Price of Football, the feeling was that they would be looking for a quick sale, Andy. The government is in their interest to get a quick sale. So if that happens, then the club can move on under new ownership.
Well, that's basically what should happen. But we'll see what happens. I mean, yeah. It's obviously not a great position to be in, really. But, you know, look, it was always a possibility, you know, right from the word go. And now it's happened.
Here we are. Okay, we'll talk more, I'm sure, about it tomorrow. Now Jeff Peters is not with us today. He couldn't score for us.
No
and
scorer.
He's done it from very far-flung corners.
Not sacked.
Oh, right. No. He just can't be with us today. And he's done it in Mexico in hotel rooms early in the morning and stuff. But he can't make it today.
I wonder where he is.
So
this time.
Stepping in is the other half with you, Charlie, of the National Obsession podcast.
Yes.
The producer, I say the producer, laughably, of this show. It is John Cadogan.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, that's, Jeff's got a functioning nerve centre, but that's the nerve centre trying to connect to the TalkSport Wi-Fi. As we know, is patchy at best.
We'll have a game of Frank Bruno boxing in a minute.
Oh, lovely.
On the Sinclair. Good. Yeah. Sounds good, yeah. Or Horace goes skiing. So, John, you're going to keep...
I'm going to try.
What level of mathematical qualification do you have?
I've got a C at GCSE math, so it's not promising, but I have put my glasses on, so that's got to count for something.
Well, that's a start. Yeah, honestly, really he walks around this studio squinting. He came in the other day to try and change the channels on the little TV monitor, and he's squinting into it.
Yeah.
I said, put your glasses... It's vanity, basically.
It's what it is. Because he supports Torquay, so he doesn't want to... be able to watch the actual football.
No, that's the worst thing that could happen. Anyway,
I've lost the last few, so I've got tactics this week, which Gary Johnson tactics, which are wasp around a picnic. That's one of his tactics, and the other one is absolute S-housery. So I'm going to go with both.
We'll look out for both of those.
It's Paul 18, Charlie 9.
18-9. Here's Pele. Hope you're playing along at home, folks. Here we go then, Andy. First birthday for me.
It's the wonderful singer from 2012, the Olympics, Emily Sandé. Yeah, I just designed a set for her new station, actually. She's such a big football fan. She wanted a sort of soccer theme. So the set consists of a series of posts, crossbars and netting. I call it Goals on Sandé.
That's nice.
Oh, lovely.
Nice, yeah.
I loved it.
What's Emily Sandé? I don't know. I mean, she's been around for a while, but she looks very young. 37, I'm going to go for.
36, I've got written down here, Paul.
You've written 36 already. Okay, let's see how old she is, Charlie.
35.
Sorry, Emily, for putting a couple of years on you there. What's that done to the scores, John?
Paul, 2 out. Charlie, 1 out.
Okay, so 2-1, an early lead for Charlie. No S-housery or wasps around the picnic needed.
I was around the right age, wasn't I, Paul?
Fair enough. All right, then you're first off then. Next birthday, Andy.
It's the twins, Charlie Reid and Craig Reid, of course, the Proclaimers.
Yeah.
And I went to see them, actually, as a VIP guest at the promoter. Luxury box, limo, lovely one. Problem was the car was too big to get near the venue and dropped us off over a quarter of a mile away. My mate asked me if I minded that, but I would walk 500 yards to be there.
Oh, okay. No, it's lovely. Nice. Yes, beautifully sung, that. Join him.
Everybody.
Okay, the twins, Proclaimers.
60,
you think? Oh, I don't know. I might go a bit younger. I'm going to go 54. Andy Jacobs.
Charlie, 60.
No.
Bang.
No, 60.
Do I get double points? Because does Paul have to go double on it because it's twins?
No, that's no S-housery. So what's that done to the scores, John?
Charlie, none out. So you stay on one. Paul, 6 out. You're on 8.
Okay. They don't need to walk 500 miles. They've got bus passes now, haven't they?
That's it now.
I would walk. Sunshine on leaf.
You get the idea with that. Anyway, I'll go first for the third one. Take it away.
It's the famous high jumper, Dick Fosbury.
Oh, yeah,
Dick Fosbury. And every year he tries to get a new business venture.
What happens to him, though, Andy? What happens to his
another flop.
He's another flop.
There it is. West End show. West End music.
He's got to be... He's got to be 80, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. Got to be 80. What do you reckon, Charlie?
80.
That's the Gary Johnson S-housery, is it?
Can you do that?
Well, you're going the same age as Paul.
I'm going. That's what he did the other week to me,
Let's see if this kind of skullduggery pays off at the end of the game. He's just marking, so he's playing it around at the back.
That's rubbish. He's 75.
He's 75. So the score's not changed, John?
No, funnily enough, not really. Charlie moves on to 6. Paul moves on to 13.
Okay, well, let's see.
If you did that for the rest of the game, you'd just... kill it, wouldn't you?
No, because yeah. I have to go first. I sometimes have to go first.
I know, that's true.
Yeah, that's
like it. I've never heard it before.
Like for the
you do produce this show, Jim, yeah. Let's remember
he's normally watching Neighbours at this point, so not for much longer, I said.
No,
Charlie, you go first this time.
I do go first, Paul.
Okay.
Neighbours, Chelsea, I don't know, might as well give up. Yeah.
nothing left for you, mate. Nothing left to watch.
What are you going
to
do?
Yes. Anyway.
Imagine if they banned moaning.
Yeah. It's official.
That would be a problem.
It's official.
The rock guitarist and singer-songwriter, Chris Rea.
And not his Welsh brother. We're going down that road, is he?
I went with him last year. He's just re-recorded a new version of his seasonal hit with Neymar and Luis Suarez. It's called Diving Home for Christmas.
Oh, nice. Beautiful. Yes.
Nice.
What do you think Chris Rea is?
How do you think Chris Rea is? I think he is, I'm going to say 78.
I might go a bit younger, Charlie. 74.
71.
Oh, okay, here we go.
I've been home, but grieve me. The road to hell.
It's not that old. Now do another Chris Rea song.
Yeah.
Auberge.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you know them all, don't you?
That's all I've
okay.
got.
On so the
what's
beach.
That, what's that done?
That's another one.
On the beach. I don't like the beach. It's sand everywhere. I prefer to pour. Anyway, it's not that old. Hey, not that old.
You are the most ageist person I've ever met.
I know. I don't mean it. Half these people are the same age as me. So where were we, John?
Charlie, 7 out. He moves on to 13. Paul, 3 out. You move on to 16.
16, yep, 13. Okay, I'll go first to see what tactic Charlie's got as we go into half time after this one. Andy.
It's another singer. It's Kiki D.
Oh, yeah, Kiki D. Oh,
I invited her to the exhibition of my paintings. She started attacking and vandalising the canvases before I could stop her. Don't go breaking my art, I said to her.
Lovely stuff.
Nice, yeah.
Lovely stuff.
Kiki D.
Kiki D.
She must be... she's in the Chris Rea envelope, I'd say. Mm-hmm. 70 blind 70s used to say at the bingo. That's
pretty good.
What do you think?
Pretty good, yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, Charlie? I reckon 68.
Okay.
75.
Ooh, Kiki. I couldn't if I... He can't keep doing that. It's a bit repetitive.
75 are called Kiki.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Good, it is. What's that down the scores, John?
So, Charlie, 7 out, you move on to 20. Paul, 5 out, 21.
Ooh, 21.
1 point in it.
Humdinger we've got as we go into half-time, but we saw last night, really, didn't we, in the Bernabeu, how volatile a second half can be. Let's see if Charlie's S-House tactics make a difference to the final score. Do hope you're playing along at home. Tell us how you're getting on. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. Second half of the birthday spread up shortly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Welcome back for the second half of the birthday spread with the scores delicately poised at 20 to 21. Before we get underway, let's check in once again with John Norman watching West Indies versus England in Antigua. John.
259 for 5, 10 overs of the second new ball, no breakthrough through for England. They thought they had Joshua De Silva, LBW, from Overton, but that on-field call was overturned on review. Bonner has reached 65. He's just taken 10 runs from Jack Leach, who's been brought into the attack. England have been really accurate today. They've bowled well, but West Indies have batted well. So, good contest. Windies trail by 52, 259 for 5.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Pele rejoins us.
Yeah. Alan Hall, birthday spread, currently on 13. I'm on 9. Got a direct hit with Emily Sandy and Kiki D, anonymous.
Well done, anonymous.
A few people, 20. Primetime Gav. And a few people saying they're waiting for my collapse. So that's
okay,
nice,
well, that's
it?
Nice, isn't it?
Nice.
That's nice. Andy, next birthday.
Yes, good. It's Lord David Panic, barrister. Honestly, I know him quite well. I had to talk him out of a really daft idea to remake Dad's Army. I said to him, don't panic!
There we are.
Don't panic, panic.
I thought we were going for Panic on the Streets of London.
Yeah, that's right. I remember seeing him in Shaftesbury Avenue.
Yeah, I think I did that one last year.
Oh, okay, yeah. And then I saw him in the jewellery court. Yeah, you get the idea with that. Charlie, Harold's
it's me,
Lord
is it?
Panic. It's you, yeah. Lord Panic.
Lord Panic.
Lord Panic,
is it?
Yes, you. Me, you. Me,
someone
you.
Someone go.
Me, you.
Look at the time.
Come on, look.
71.
He's a producer.
71.
71, Lord Panic. Ah, yeah, he could be right. 68.
66.
Oh, clickety click. Oh, John, I think I've taken the lead.
You have taken the lead. You're on to 23. You're two out. Charlie, five out. 25.
25. Okay, okay.
The collapse begins.
Let's see. Let's see. Andy, next birthday.
Okay, she's the Regius Professor of Botany at the University of Cambridge. It's Dame Ottoline Lacer. Dame Ottoline Lacer. And a couple of years back, she went missing, and I was tasked with finding her. Luckily, I was successful in my Lacer quest.
like a 12-year-old's birthday party.
And what's her role again, Andy? Could you let us know?
Yeah, she's the Professor of Botany, the Regius Professor of Botany,
yeah,
at the University of Cambridge, and also Chief Executive of UK Research and Innovation.
Okay, 78, I'm going to go for, Charlie.
Yeah. I've left. 78.
This is an odd tactic. It's an odd tactic, honestly, Charlie.
We might as well just pack it in if you're going to do it. I'm not bothering with the jokes, Nick. Again, Nathan, and go.
What's that done to this? Yeah, where old is she, Andy?
She's 57.
Oh, blimey. We've both had a mare there.
See, well,
we?
I was going to go up, you see, so I'm pleased I didn't. Right, so it paid off for me.
Yes, yeah, so... what's that done to the scores, John? You've got some proper maths to do now, haven't you? Hang on. Here we go. Taking his shoes and socks off.
Someone's saying a mathematical...
Carry the one. Paul.
Carry the one.
Paul, 21 out onto 44. Charlie, 21 out onto 46.
46. Okay. All right, then. Charlie, you're first next. Here we go.
Okay. Baroness Faulkner of Margravine. Baroness Faulkner of Margravine. She bears a striking resemblance to the former Portsmouth and Gillingham defender Guy Butters.
Yes.
Hard to tell Margravine from Butters.
Hey, what does she do, Baroness Margarine? What does she do, Andy?
Oh, sorry, yeah. I'm so excited, I forgot. He's a chairwoman, of the Equality and Human Rights Commission.
Okay.
Okay. I think she's 66.
Okay, I'll go 69.
Ooh, she's 67.
Ooh, right in the middle
not
there.
Not much there. So, what's that done, John?
The gap closes. Paul, you're two out onto 46. Charlie, one out onto 47. Ooh, it's nip and tuck.
It certainly is. It's a heck of a game. It's just like last night. Mm. Yeah, maybe not. So, next birthday, Andy.
It's the filmmaker. He directed Crash. It's Paul Haggis. Ooh. Paul Haggis. And every year on January the 25th, he's invited round for an evening at Kenny Burns' house.
Yes. It would be great if Paul Haggis, the filmmaker, and Kenny Burns, the former Forest European Cup winner, got together.
To hang around with each
for
other.
For neeps and tatties.
Lovely, yeah. Address the Haggis.
Yeah, address the Haggis. Okay, Paul Haggis, it's me, isn't it? 62, I'm going to go for.
62.
Yeah.
58.
Big one, this one, Charlie.
Regals. 69.
Oh. 69. Ah, so what's that down to scores?
Charlie, 11 out. He moves on to... hold on.
58.
58, yeah.
Yeah, 58. Yeah. And Paul, 7 out onto 53.
So there's, look, it's quite good because I have to go first on the last one because that's the rule. Yeah, so it gives you a marker. And you're only 5 out. So I'd say you're in good nick, Charlie.
Hope so.
So I'm informed by the producer that this last birthday is lethal. So.
Really? He's got a filthy mind.
Wait till you hear it. You judge for yourself.
Let's find out. Here we go, Andy. What's the final birthday?
It's the jazz pianist, Dick Hyman. Dick Hyman.
Yep. Yeah.
Me and Simon Jordan bumped into him on the way to Thorpe Park Amusement Centre. It could have been awkward, but Simon kept it uncomplicated. Yes, simple Simon met Dick Hyman going to the fair. You can have that one.
Could have been so much worse.
I'm not saying anything.
Dick Hyman, the jazz pianist, is 93.
Regals.
Regals, you've got five.
Regals,
you can go
Regals,
or you can go lower.
98.
I'm going 90. Well, you can go 90 with 99 if you want to win it.
I'm going to go. Let's go 99.
He's 95.
Oh! I did know who he was. I'm aware of his work.
Well done,
fine,
Paul.
Fine piano player.
Well done.
So,
it nearly worked, didn't
it? What was the final score, John?
The final score, I think, and I might have made a mistake somewhere along the lines here, but I think it's Charlie finished on 62.
Yeah.
And Paul, you finished on 55.
55. I think Charlie Mark finished on 64 because he went for. You're right there, John.
No, okay. I'm right.
No, that's right. Four out on the last one. Okay, 62. There we are.
62-59 was the final score, was it?
55.
There we are.
Well, there we are. Quite the game. The only thing that strikes me, Charlie, is that those two where you just basically copied me.
Yeah.
If you'd been a bit more volatile, you could have won that.
But you know, I am wrong way Regals, and I would have just gone the wrong way, Paul. So that's just how it goes. Try again next week. Well done, Paul.
The scores go up to 19-9. These are getting rushed and esque.
Terrible now. Yeah, it's terrible now.
Anyway, our work is done. Andy, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yep. See you tomorrow.
Charlie, I will see you on Tuesday. We'll hear from you on Saturday with Max.
Saturday morning, 9 till 11. Hype men for the weekend. And I'm with you all week at Cheltenham next week.
You
Paul.
Certainly are. Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Charlie giving us all the colour from Cheltenham out and about on the course. Thank you, John.
Thank you. I think Jess is going to wish he never went on holiday.
Yes, he will. Yeah,
he did a lovely job.
Pretty solid job.
I mean, the maths were over his shoulder. Poor, but other than that, it was very good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow with Andy in the studio. Charlie, you're back on Saturday.
Back
with
Saturday
Max.
Morning, 9 till 11. The hype men for the weekend, Paul.
Beautiful. And then you're with me next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, yes, please.
Okay, marvellous. Okay, do hope you can join us on one tomorrow. If not, podcast is available around 4. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.